You're listening to the Envious Alien Podcast with your host, Heather Woodward, an award-winning psychic, supernatural author, and lover of all things true crime. On this show, we're going to deep dive into topics that don't usually see the light of day. The spooky, the weird, the macabre, the paranormal, and of course, aliens. Sit back, grab a cup of tea, and let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the Envious Alien Podcast. This is Heather. I'm in my car right now. I'm traveling and I have not been able to get into my studio in my house to record. I am picking up some new equipment, so hopefully my sound will get better. But right now, it's going to be the car sound. I'm hoping in post I can fix this a little bit and make it a little bit more clean. Anyway. I got thoughts. I got lots of thoughts today about the Casey Anthony documentary that dropped on Peacock. If you don't know about the Casey Anthony, basically this woman, she was 19. Her daughter went missing for 31 fucking days. 31 days. She was lying about it and saying that she was with Zanny the Nanny and going about her life like nothing was wrong. Finally, her parents were like, hey, where's the kid? We never see her anymore. And somebody called the police. I believe it was her grandmother and then her mother and then her. Called the police 3 times in one day. And said, hey, my daughter's been missing. I don't know where she is. From there, it just gets crazy. They look for her. She lies a lot. 6 months later, they find the little girl in a laundry bag that's tied up with duct tape. The little girl has 3 pieces of duct tape over her face. And there's nothing left of the remains except for a skeleton because it was in Florida. Where she was dumped was in a watery marsh kind of area. Animals got to the bag and body was spread about because it was mostly just bones at that point. Somebody taking a pee on the side of the road saw the skull, saw the bag, and called it in. The weird thing about that is he actually had called in the bag 3 times. That was his 3rd time in 4 months. He had seen the bag, called it in, because I guess it was like his place to pee, like he would pee there, get out of the side of the road, do his thing. And he saw the bag once, called it in, called the bag a 2nd time, called it in. Then the 3rd time, he saw the bag with a skull. And he was like, you guys need to get out here. The 3rd time, the police went out there and picked up the remains, and they got DNA from the inside of the child's bones, and it was Casey Anthony's daughter. Her name is Kaylee. She was 2.5 years old. It's really a sad case. And during this time, these 31 days while she's missing and her mom, Casey, hasn't said anything about it, just pretending like she's going to work. She wasn't going to work, by the way. She was going to her boyfriend's house, pretending she's going to work, pretending she's doing all of these things that she's not doing. She's out clubbing, having a normal life and acting like nothing is wrong. Anyway, she was arrested for child endangerment at first. And then when they found the bones, then she was arrested for murder. I'm giving you the very short version. I watched an older documentary from 2017, and her parents are mostly in that one. the police officer that was in charge of the case and some other lawyers. It was very interesting. Now, what's different about the Casey Anthony documentary that came out 11/29/2022, it's the one and only time that she has been on camera talking about it. In the 2017 documentary that I watched, there is footage of her in jail talking to her parents. She says to her mom, after her mom says, "I think Kaylee's dead," she goes something to the effect of, "Yeah." She has this really blasé of like, "Yeah, that's probably true." And her mom is, "Aren't you upset about that? Like, I haven't seen you cry or do anything. You're not even upset about your daughter missing." And she says, "Yeah, I'm trying to call people. I'm trying to get out of jail. I'm trying to figure things out. I don't have time to cry." Like, she's just this very angry, petulant person at this time. She was 19 when she got the kid, so she must have been, like, 21. Anyway, she's not even, like, questioning her daughter the whole time. She doesn't ask where her daughter is. When her mom asks her where she thinks her daughter is, she says, "I have a feeling she's alive. I can still feel her." And when she goes and talks to the police during the interview, she's very charming. She's very chatty. She has no interest in her. She has this very blasé, very compartmentalized attitude about everything. And it is the weirdest thing to watch. Somebody who has a 2.5-year-old child just tune out and not give a shit. Full disclosure, I'm a mom. I have a 24 and 5-year-old child. He's older now, but I remember I had my son at 23. From the time he was a baby until he was about 5, I was crazy about him. Like, crazy maternal, crazy instinctual, crazy, did not want him out of my sight. And it was really hard because I had joint custody with his dad. He would be with me for 5 days. And then he would be with his dad for 5 days. When he went to school, he would be with me for 4 days and then be with his dad for 3 days. And so during those times when he wasn't there, I felt like there was a part of me missing. And I'm not the most maternal person. I hated being pregnant. I didn't want to have any other kids until I was around 40. I was like, maybe I should have one more baby. But he was almost out of school by then, and I was fully in the empty nest thing. I was feeling like he was grown up and maybe I should have another baby, because I was feeling that empty feeling you feel when your kid's 17 and he's almost out of high school. He doesn't need you anymore. It was just a really weird time. But other than that, like, I'm not the most maternal person. The whole point of this is that I just don't understand how you could go on with your life for 31 fucking days while your kid is missing. The laundry bag that Kaylee was in, they found her in the marsh area, was only a couple streets down from her house, by the way. Casey Anthony's house was, I think, less than a mile away from the body dump area. Kaylee was found in a laundry bag, and the twin to that laundry bag was found in Casey Anthony's house. The duct tape on her mouth and the duct tape around the bag, they all found that stuff in Casey Anthony's house. Also, Casey Anthony's car smelled really bad, like there had been a rotting body in the trunk of the car. And it would not go away. They found one hair from the little girl in the trunk. Now, one hair in the back of a car is not a lot. However, once They did forensics on it. They realized it was a postmortem hair. She was not alive when the hair was pulled from her scalp. So for all intents and purposes, they know that the little girl's body was put in the back of the car and dumped. So whether Casey Anthony did it or not, the tools, everything that was found on the little girl was from Casey Anthony's house. They don't know what happened to her because it was just a skull and some bones. And the bones had been gnawed on by basically predation. The wildlife in the area had opened the bag. And there was no blood first trauma. There was no obvious point of death, except for the tape on the little girl's face. Now, because of that, they think maybe she was suffocated. And because later on they found that there were keystrokes that matched a Google search for how to make chloroform and how to suffocate someone, they thought that she was suffocated, and they did have a pool, one of the round ones that are above ground. Maybe the little girl was either dumped in the pool, or maybe she jumped in the pool and drowned, and then they didn't know what to do with the body. Or there's lots of ideas of how she died, but nobody really knows except for whoever was there and whoever killed her. Or it could have been an accident. We don't know. The problem is that with the drowning thing, first of all, you have to have a stepladder to get into the pool because it's above ground. If you've ever seen them before, they're like 4 or 5 feet above the ground. You have to have a stepladder to get on them, and the stepladder was not connected to the pool on purpose, because they didn't want the little girl, Kaylee, to get into the pool because they didn't want her to drown. They were taking precautions. In another documentary that I watched shortly after the Casey Anthony documentary, a person who does profiling said that there are easier ways to suffocate somebody, like a pillow, or you could put your hand over their face if you really wanted to get rid of them. You don't have to put tape over their mouth. That just seems like a lot of extra steps to kill somebody when you can do these other things that are much easier. The profiler said that the tape over the face and the mouth probably was a way to objectify the little girl. This is so horrible. I hate talking about this because whoever did it was ashamed of what happened. If you put the tape over the face, then becomes an object and not a person. Whoever did it was able to dump the body and compartmentalize what happened without thinking about what had just happened. The duct tape, it was a shame and guilt thing, which means in their perspective, whatever happened was not premeditated. It was either an accident or something that happened, something got out of hand. Let's put it that way. And that's horrible. This is like the worst story ever, which angers me. Like, I have so much rage around this because there's duct tape over this little girl's face for whatever happened. And she's being dumped, and her stupid compartmentalized mom is partying and going about her life like nothing's fucking happening, and nobody notices because she's covering it up. It takes everybody a whole fucking month to figure out that the child is missing or the child is gone. And I don't know. It's just something really off about this, the whole thing. Peacock put out a press release like 2 or 3 weeks ago that there was going to be this new documentary. And some people just went apeshit over it. On YouTube, there's all these videos about how you shouldn't watch the documentary. She got paid for it. By watching the documentary, you're giving her money, you're supporting her. You're doing all of these things, blah, blah, blah. Shame on you for wanting to watch it. You're a bad person if you want to watch it. Same with Twitter. Everyone, of course, I'm like, okay, now I need to watch it because I want to know what this bitch has to say. There's nothing that you're probably going to say that's going to sway me to believe that you don't have something to do with this. I believe you're guilty as sin. And that's the other thing, too. She got off on this. They did not have enough evidence to get a guilty verdict. They had very little circumstantial evidence. They don't know how the kid was killed. They don't know what happened because 31 days went by and they're coming into this in the middle of it. The prosecution didn't really have a lot to go on. Whoever did this had a head start in cleaning it up and making it like it never happened. So I remember when this happened, I was following it and everyone knew she was guilty. They're like, this fucking bitch is guilty. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to prove it. And unfortunately, there was nothing to prove it. And prosecution had a really, really hard time. She got off on all the charges except for one. And she got 4 years. She had spent 3 years in. And they said, okay, time served. So she got out right after the trial ended. And then she went into obscurity because everyone was like crazy pissed off that she got off. Everyone was like, she's fucking guilty. She killed her kid. How dare you? I think this happened in 2005. So her being able to live the last 15 years, basically, scot-free. Apparently, you can kill your kid and be a negligent parent, and it's okay by the system, which is not true. The prosecution could never come up with a good narrative as to what exactly happened because they didn't have any fucking evidence for it. I feel they could have done better, but what are you going to do? This is the first time that Casey Anthony has talked on the record, explaining everything. And let me tell you, she's a fucking liar. That has not changed. Apparently, she's gone to therapy. She started to work for her defense team, and she's actually in law. I don't know what to do about that. This is just fucking ironic. She lies. And I said that before, but you know, when you're talking to somebody and you're just like, you're a fucking liar. There's no way around it. There's this thing that she does. I mean, I almost thought she was a sociopath. Or like she had no emotions or no remorse. Because she does this thing where she's talking and then she'll wait to see what the response is from the other person. She's obviously reading body language and the reactions of people to see where she should go with her story. There was a few times where she was literally waiting for the other person to react, to see where she should go with it. It was hard sometimes to watch because I'm like, is she curating this story right now? Or is she figuring out how she's going to say it so that it appeals to the audience? The other thing is that she keeps talking about her father abusing her. And in court, she talked about her brother abusing her. So it went from her brother abusing her to her father sexually abusing her. And in this documentary, basically, the narrative that she put out was, my father abused me, and then he was abusing Kaylee, and something happened, and he took her, told me she was alive. So those 31 days, she was just waiting for him to give the kid back and freaking out about it, but compartmentalizing it and living her life. What the fuck? She said that as a kid, when he was abusing her, he would put a pillow over her head and snuff her out when she didn't want to do what he wanted her to do. And he thinks that her dad did that to her daughter and then felt shame and dumped the body and then proceeded to string her along for a month. Lot to unpack here. I am not one to be your fucking lying, but I'm watching this and I'm like, really? This is the narrative that you're putting out here. This is what you're telling people. Is she sociopath? In the documentary, they talked to two different psychiatrists that talked to her for her trial. So she was put through two different psychiatrists. And both said that she does not exhibit any of the signs of being a psychopath or a sociopath. And she doesn't exhibit any signs of any kind of mental illness except for complex PTSD, which usually happens through trauma, through sexual abuse, or through being abused as a child. So she exhibits the signs of CPTSD. And that's it. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? They also said, this both psychiatrists said, that lying is part of the psychopathy of CPTSD because it's her way of trying to fit in or trying to create another truth, a dissociative behavior that goes with complex PTSD. And I don't know much about this. So if there's anybody out there that knows more about this, I would love to hear your thoughts on it. I was watching TikTok and there's a woman who actually studied trauma and CPTSD, and she says that when she watched Audrey, she was very surprised because she went in thinking that she was going to hate it, and then she's like, oh fuck, this woman, she's got trauma. So everyone agrees that she has been abused. There is some trauma. The other thing too is that nobody knows who the father of Kaylee is. She said it was a few different people. And then in the documentary, she says that she was raped at a party, that she was basically drugged, woke up the next morning knowing that she had sex and she was pregnant shortly after. I don't know if I can believe that. I believe things like that happen. I just don't know about her, though. There were like two or three other people that she said they were the father. And her boyfriend at the time, she said he was the father. But then now that never happened. She even says, I lied. I lied so much to the police. I lied so much up to the point that I was at the trial. I was lying about everything. And she goes through all of the lies. And I know she had to do that. It's a whole mea culpa kind of thing where, okay, if I want anyone to trust me through this documentary, then I actually have to like fess up to some things. And that's what it felt like. It didn't feel like I'm remorseful, I'm sad about these things, I'm a fucker. It was like, we have to set this up so that you'll trust me. Okay, do you trust me now? Let me tell you this other story. You should watch it. Fuck the people on Twitter, fuck the people on YouTube. You need to watch this. If you take the whole rage out of it and you look at it from a sociological point of view, this woman is a very interesting subject of what trauma will do to you. Because I have no doubt that she was abused as a child. Somebody abused her. I can tell you that her mother is an enabler and likes to fix things and clean things. I can tell you that she puts things in the rug, she cleans things up, and she will, there's some guilt there or something because she does whatever Casey Anthony wants her to do. So I don't know. Did her father do it? I'm not sure. Or did her brother do it? I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm on the fence about it. I can tell you that something happened. I can tell you that she's fucked up. I can tell you that she lies. I can tell you that she loves attention. I can tell you that she cries over the top. A lot of the crying in this, a lot of the stories that she tells and the crying, it is fake as fuck. She cries and then she's, fuck, I'm crying. And then she closes off and gets back in front of the camera and acts like it didn't happen. She dissociates so much. That's all complex PTSD. Trauma does that to you. You can turn on and off. You're like, okay, I have to like put it all back together. I have to disassociate. So you disassociate and you're like, what was I crying about? I don't remember, because you push it so far. I've encountered this myself. I'm great at disassociating. So I saw it and I'm like, okay, there's some trauma there for sure. Everything else I feel is a lie, though. The one thing that I came out from this documentary is this. She did it. That's the only thing I know is true. She brought all these pictures of Kaylee. She's like, oh, yeah, these are things that I have in my house. I have all these things and I keep her around. I think about my baby every day. And I'm like, it's all lies. I'm sure she has that stuff in her house. But no, she's not doing that. She's not reminding herself every day of this fucking tragedy that happened. I can tell you that. She might have a couple pictures here and there. She's not going to re-traumatize herself like that. She just won't. She disassociates too much. So that was a fucking lie. Whatever happened to Kaylee, she was there. So whether she did it or somebody she knows did it, she was there when her daughter died. And they asked her straight out, do you know what happened to her? And she says, I was asleep. I don't know. I was asleep and then she was gone. And I don't believe that for one fucking second. I think something happened to Kaylee. She left the body there. She goes to sleep. And then she doesn't know what happened. And she just sees the body. And she disassociates. She has no idea what's going on. So either her or somebody like her dad or her mom or somebody in the house helped her dump the body. I feel like somebody helped her. Somebody in the family or somebody around. Maybe I'm wrong with the second person, but I know that Casey Anthony was there when her daughter died. I have no question about it in my mind that she was there. She had something to do with it. This whole narrative about the pillow over the head, about how her dad used to do it to her, that's probably what happened to the little girl. Did you put a pillow over your daughter's head and now you're blaming your father for it because somebody did that to you and so you did it to your daughter? Is that what just happened? Are you replaying your own trauma with your daughter? Is that what's going on here? That's where my brain went with it. Do I believe she's innocent? Not at all. Do I believe she premeditated it? No. I don't think there's a premeditated thing. I think this was a case of, I fucked up. I feel shame. I don't know what to do with this. And I'm really good at dissociating. I'm really good at compartmentalizing. So I'm going to clean this up and pretend like it never happened. And I'm going to go about my life and just pretend like it never happened. And if people ask me about it, I'm just going to disassociate and move on. And she did it for as long as she possibly could, until her mom and her grandma like was all like, where's the fucking kid? People started asking too many questions and she couldn't hide it any longer. But I really believe that those 31 days she was pretending like it didn't happen and just disassociating the fuck out of it. It's sad. She might be hiding it from herself because it does have to do with the trauma that happened to her as a child. There's like an overlay because she did something to her kid that happened to her because, I don't know, the kid may have acted up, said something, did something. There is a theory that Casey Anthony was giving Kaylee Xanax to calm her down. And there might have been a drug overdose. Or she was giving the kid something to calm her down, to take her places because she didn't have a babysitter. And she was wanting a life outside of being a mom, and she couldn't do it if she had to watch the kid. So she was giving the kid some kind of depressant to make her go to sleep. So that could have been it too. She gives the kid something, the kid goes to sleep, she goes to sleep. The kid doesn't wake up and she's like, what the fuck? What did I do? That could be it too. I don't know. From the way she was talking though, when watching her body language and how she was saying things and how she was reacting to things, her trauma and that child's trauma are intertwined, which makes me think that it wasn't just, oh, I gave her too much medication and she didn't wake up. And putting the tape over the face makes me believe that it was something actually done to her. It wasn't just a drug overdose. It was something done to the child. There's shame involved. And yeah, drug overdosing your child would bring about a lot of shame, but it's almost like what I got from it is that Kaylee was a reflection of Casey Anthony's trauma. So what happened? I don't know. Did Casey Anthony's father, did he abuse the child? I don't know. I couldn't get a good read on him. From what I gathered, her father used to be part of the police department. Or he worked with the police. And so he knows how to be interviewed and he knows what to say. He's pretty good at hiding things. He's pretty good at being in the system because he was part of the system. So it makes it hard to read because he doesn't give a lot of social cues. Also, he lies a lot. Allegedly, from what I was told from all three documentaries, he lies a lot. He had affairs. He says he never had the affairs. He said he never abuse anyone. He doesn't know anybody's talking about. But there was something about him that I was like, I'm not getting the full story on him. The mother was definitely an enabler. The mother was definitely like, let's clean up the mess. So the father, I bet you he had affairs. What was positive? I felt like there was some truth in that. Would he be an abuser? I don't know. I do know that it was somebody, because Casey Anthony is definitely a product of trauma. She says she's going to therapy. Do I believe her? I don't know. Did she tell the therapist the truth? Probably not. But at least she's trying. It seemed like this whole situation was a very tired, shitty story about a fucked up family that is not on the up and up and has a lot of secrets, and the secrets come out and the child dies. Basically, Kaylee gets the brunt of it. It's horrible. Watch the documentary. Watch all the documentaries. We go on Peacock. You can watch The Case of Kaylee Anthony. Also watch the Casey Anthony documentary from 2017. They're all worth your time. The 2017 Casey Anthony documentary, I believe, is on Discovery. I will put links in the show notes. Is it worth your time? Absolutely. I hate people who are like, don't watch it. You're exploiting Kaylee Anthony. You're not exploiting anything. You're just getting information. And you're allowed to get the information. You're allowed to have an opinion. You're allowed to gain knowledge. You're allowed to see what this person has to say. That doesn't mean that you like her. It doesn't mean you're paying her. You can't be upset and fucking rageful about the fact that a 2.5-year-old little girl died because of some fucking trauma and some bullshit, because nobody in that family could get their shit together. I don't blame just Casey Anthony. I blame the parents. I blame the whole fucking family, because everyone was just turning a blind eye, and that's bullshit. This reminds me so much of the Gabby Petito case, so much, in so many ways. It's, let's just put on a brave face and let's not talk about it. It's not the same because there's a fucking child involved in this one, but it's that the parent, in both these situations, the parents did nothing. They just aided and abetted and enabled. They did not want to deal with their own fucking trauma. This is what happens.
people die.
Thank you for listening to the Envious Alien Podcast. For show notes, go to www.enviousalien.com. I always post links, videos, any kind of research materials that I used for the episode. So if you want to go a little more in depth, that's where you go. If you want more of the podcast and you like what we're doing, consider joining our Patreon. I post bloopers there. You get the episodes quicker than everybody else. They are ad-free. There's tarot readings and other bonus content that I throw out there. It's a great way to help us out, pays for production costs, and it gives you more content. That's www.enviousalien.com. www.enviusalien.com. And as always, see you on the flip side.